Well, it's good to be with you today. And our text is from Luke chapter 11. We'll start at verse 37. And as he spoke, a certain Pharisee asked him to dine with him. So he went in and sat down to eat. When the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. Then the Lord said to him, "Now you Pharisees, make the outside of the cup and dish clean, but your inward part is full of greed and wickedness. Foolish ones! Did not he who made the outside make the inside also? But rather give alms of such things as you have, then indeed all things will be clean to you. But woe to you, Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass by justice and the love of God. These things you ought to have done, without leaving the others undone. Woe to you, Pharisees, for you love the best seats of the synagogue and greetings in the marketplaces. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You are like graves which are not seen, and men who walk over them are not aware of them." Lord, help us to understand your word. Help us to apply it to our lives, our ministries. Help us to not follow the bad examples, but to obey you. Speak to us today, equip us and empower us to be your witnesses in this world. In Jesus' name, amen. So some thought I probably ought to start the sermon by saying, "You are a bunch of hypocrites, fools, woe to you." But I figured I probably wouldn't do that. Can you imagine what it would be like, though, to invite somebody over to dinner and have them say that to you? Boy, that would make me mad, huh? You'd want to crucify someone like that. Ooh, that's what happened. Pharisees date back to the time around Nehemiah's time when Israel had been taken captive and they returned to the Promised Land. And they've come back to the Promised Land. But they've been kind of messed up. And there's a lot of now non-Jewish people living in the Promised Land. And for the young men, some of those gals look kind of cute. And so they end up marrying into them. And they had their religion, but these people had their own religion too. And so they ended up taking some of their idols and bringing them into their house, and you know, gods, and we'll just worship everybody and be a big community. And Israel polluted itself spiritually. And the Pharisees came along, a group of Jewish people who really understood the Bible, took it seriously, said, "Wait a minute, you're doing a bunch of wrong stuff. You need to not connect with these other people. You need to not worship their gods. You need to follow God's word and obey Scripture." And they had a mighty move of God bringing Israel back to worshiping the Lord. So the Pharisees had good roots. But as a couple hundred years passed by, "We did such a nice job, didn't we? And, you know, we believe in the Bible, and we're going to follow it, every detail, and you better shape up too. And we're going to make sure everybody obeys all the rules. And if you have trouble understanding them, we'll make a few hundred more rules that help you follow them all." And by the time Jesus came along, the Pharisees had really corrupted the Word of God. what started out as a great move of God ended up as a great mess spiritually. And that's what Jesus came into. A Jewish community that was filled with a lot of legalism and rules and really missed the principles of what God was trying to do. And so a Pharisee invited him to his home. And the first thing we can learn as we look at this passage is that Jesus connected with the Pharisees. He didn't say, well, I'm not going to your house. He said, sure, I'll come. He went in, sat down, started eating. And the Pharisee was very offended at him because the Pharisees followed some very specific ritual rules. Now, when I was a kid, my mother would say, John, you've been out playing in the mud puddle. Wash your hands before you come to dinner. Makes sense, right? Well, Jesus wasn't playing in the mud puddle. But the Pharisees had certain rituals that they went through in cleansing before they went down to eat their meal. But they weren't about cleanliness, they were about ritual. And Jesus didn't go through that ritual. And the Pharisees thought, wow, Jesus didn't wash. And so Jesus responded to them. But he did connect with them. He did go to the house. He knew that they had problems, but he still was willing to connect. And we as Christians need to be ready to connect with non-believers, non-religious, even people who are religious, but people that we differ with on their religious issues. We can still connect with them. We can relate to them. Because if we don't, how are they ever going to get straightened out? We need to go there. We need to feel. We need to connect with them, love them, not be intimidated by them, not compromise, but love them. So Jesus went in and he confronted the Pharisee about his concern about Jesus not washing his hands. He said, now you Pharisees cleanse the outside of the cup in the dish. But inside, you're full of greed and bitterness, wickedness. He confronted them. They concentrated on the externals. They fulfilled all the external requirements, but they didn't deal with their hearts. And that's what Jesus wants them to do and wants us to do. To not just conform to the outside, but to really deal with what's going on inside of us so that we aren't filled with things like bitterness and greed and resentment. You cleanse the outside, but not the inside. Their cleansing, their washing was ceremonial, legalistic, but not really sanitary. And he said, you fools. Now, certainly calling somebody as a fool would be considered an insult. But for Jesus to do that, it was more than just an insult. The word fool occurs 41 times in the book of Proverbs. And it isn't just somebody who does dumb stuff, okay? It was people who were offensive in so many ways to God, to God's word. And Jesus is calling them into accountability for these things. Being very self-centered, being very stubborn people. He says, you're fools. Didn't the God who make the outside make the inside also? I'm telling you, give alms. And here he's talking about to the poor. Give alms to people, but also deal with what's going on inside. and then everything will be clean to you. You need to concentrate not on legalistic details, but on the more important things. You need to reach out to the people that are poor and care for them. You tithe on your mints and your rue and your herbs, but neglect justice and the love of God. One of the things I do is I'll do some of the grocery shopping. Now, Jane is a fantastic cook, makes great meals, and she goes grocery shopping too. But sometimes she'd like me to go grocery shopping. And I went to the co-op last week, and I got some herbs. You know, you go there and you take out the jars and you scoop and you put them in bags, wrap them up and put the number on there and pay for them at the counter. So I'm good at getting the herbs. What I can't imagine is taking out 10% of them and bringing them and putting them in the offering plate. I don't think Allison would appreciate that. But these people would not just tithe in general, but they were very specific and would even, when they were picking in their garden, they'd take 10% of all the little herbs that they pick, put 10% there and take that down to the temple. Very legalistic. He says, you guys tithe on all this kind of stuff, on the very little detail stuff, but you miss out on the important things. Where is your passion for justice in the world? Are you aware of the things that God loves, and do you love them? Are they priorities in your life? This is where our focus needs to be. Yes, we need to tithe. We don't need to take the herbs down, but the paycheck tithe, you know? But we need to really focus on justice and the things that God loves. I'm grateful that our church does have people in the distribution of the tithes, the stewardship. The money is invested wisely, and a significant amount of what we put in the plate goes into missions, goes into care for the needy, goes into things like the halfway house for women in addiction recovery over in Canton. We take what comes in as the offering and express it in the areas where God has love and compassion and concern. Goes to places like Haiti, and we're so glad to have somebody from Haiti here today. Amber. Jesus was calling them, the Pharisees, to have that kind of love, to not just deal with the external things, but to deal with the heart, what was going inside of them. They were faithful in tithing on the outside, but filled with pride and arrogance in the inside. They loved the front seats. Now, we don't have a special seating arrangement here, and we're glad for those who sit down front, and I'm not talking about you guys today. But in the Jesus days, down front, that was a special place of honor. And you had status if you were seated down front. The rest of you could stand in the back, whatever. But they loved being in that kind of position. They loved being greeted. They were holier than thou kinds of people. And Jesus says, woe to you. Woe, that's a danger. You're in trouble. And if you're interested in people looking at you and admiring you for who you are, so spiritual, that's not good. A real godly person is going to be not somebody down front trying to run everything, but somebody who is humble and gentle and ready to serve everyone. That's what God calls us to. But they were filled with pride, with arrogance, focused on themselves. As believers, we're not to be focused on ourselves and who we are and our positions. We're to be focused on Jesus. We're to be focused on loving one another, getting our esteem from God, not from people, serving one another. Jesus said, "Woe to you, you are like unmarked graves, and people walk over them without knowing it." An unmarked grave. Now, one of the rules of in Israelites was you don't touch dead things. You get contaminated if you touch the dead things, so keep away from dead things. And Jesus said, you're like unmarked graves. People walk all over you and don't know it. People come in contact with you. People are connecting with you, and they don't know that you're spiritually dead. But you're contaminating them. They're soaking up your legalism. They're soaking up your spiritual pride. They're soaking up all these perverted elements of the true faith from you, because you're there shining it out. And they don't know that you're spiritually dead. Woe to you, you're contaminating others. Pretty harsh words when you're invited to somebody's house. But Jesus was speaking the truth. He was confronting them. God had spoken to them many times through many prophets through the years. And you know what they did? They killed the prophets. They stoned them, hacked them up. So now God is bringing on himself to confront them directly. He waited patiently, hundreds of years, gently working. But there's a time when God says, okay, that's enough. You need to sit back and listen. And they didn't. So he confronted them. Jesus connected with them, but he also confronted them and corrected them. He didn't just say, this is wrong. He said, this is wrong and this is what's right. You need to tithe, yes, but you need to be concerned about justice and mercy, about the needy and the poor. And the lesson here for us is that we need to not conform to the Pharisees. It's easy to slip. You know, Harvey mentioned that we were both involved in InterVarsity back in the 1960s, so long ago. A lot of you weren't even born yet. And it's easy to see how one can, well, you know, I've been a Christian a long time. God's done a lot of things through me. I'm better than you. Well, no. But it's easy to get into that kind of mindset. And as Christians, we need to be careful that we don't become Pharisees, because there's a natural tendency to become a Pharisee, to become a hypocrite. A hypocrite is a play actor back in Jesus' time, and they wore masks. And you've seen the pictures of a mask with a smile and a frown, illustrating. They actually wore those back in Jesus' day. And an actor was somebody who pretended to be someone that they weren't really, but they were acting out on stage. And it's very easy to learn what Christianity is supposed to be like and to just kind of act it out in our daily lives and yet not really be that. And God calls us to be that, and that our behavior is to flow out of who we really are, not just some phony picture that we present on the outside, but inside we're something different. He wants what we really are to flow out, and he wants to change what we really are to be like Jesus. Our security in Christ slips when it's based on what we do rather than who we are in Christ. We need to really understand God's grace. We need to affirm it and walk in it and let it flow through us. Not because of who we are, but because of who he is. I found an article, magazine article, on signs you're a modern-day Pharisee. And I copied down a few of them. One is, if someone tries to rebuke you and you get all angry and offended. If someone tries to correct you, we need to listen. You need to say, wow, is God speaking to me? What can I learn through this? Somehow I've set up a bad example. Lord, show me what it is. Help me to learn from this. They may not be right on track. Then again, they may be. We need to listen and humbly be open to being corrected. Another characteristic is all your Christian friends look and act just like you do. We need to appreciate diversity. We need to be ready to cross bridges, economic, social, age, cultural, racial. We need to be inclusive, not exclusive. We need to reach out to people not like us. Another characteristic is you condone in secret what you preach against publicly. Or to put it another way, is what you watch on TV consistent with your profession of faith? Watch it, John. You're meddling, not preaching. What's going on in your private life? Is that consistent with your beliefs in Christ? What's going on in your thinking? Another characteristic, you don't repent of sin because you believe you don't have any serious sin to repent of. We become insensitive to our own shortcomings. We need to really be sensitive. God, where am I falling short? That needs to be a regular prayer. Lord, show me where I need to change and grow. I open my heart to you. And another one, you spend more time talking about what you're against than what you're for. Well, now that's meddling. There's a lot of things you can be against nowadays. The areas of politics, so much is going on in our world that we're against. But what are we for? Can we talk about that? Can we talk about righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit? Can we spread the message of the good news? Can we be followers of Jesus, not followers of religious rules? So Jesus confronted the Pharisees. We need to be ready to confront. We need to be ready to connect. There's a world out there that needs Jesus. They need a good example, not a self-righteous example. They need to be loved. And they need to be corrected. And we need to be firm. And we need to realize that we have a responsibility to connect and to correct. Would the worship team come down? Let's take a moment and just open our hearts to the Lord. Lord, we want to be holy, but we don't want to be Pharisees. We don't want to be legalistic. We want to be godly. We want to follow after righteousness and justice. We want to love the things you love the people you love. And we want to be bold in proclaiming your truth and rebuking the wrong. We open our hearts to you, Lord. Speak to us and speak through us. In Jesus' name, amen.